When it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, November 7th. We have a new president, sort of.
Well, we don't know yet until Florida's votes are in.
They're in.
Are they?
Yeah.
So basically, we're stuck in the same shitty thing that we've been stuck in?
Well, for another 4 years. I guess it's not too long, right?
Everyone, pull all your money out of the banks.
Yeah, so...
Be prepared to have more houses being repossessed.
Well, we'll see. You know, I don't know what's going to happen.
Turmoil.
I just figured,
still,
you know,
here.
I just figured we'd put
the
it behind
still
us
in office.
Not get irritated.
I'm just irritated because, like, I was, like, all excited in the very beginning. Like, I was like, change, yes, he's going to be amazing. He hasn't done shit.
Mm.
So, like, it irritates me, and, like, everyone is worse off than they were. So, yeah, I'm really irritated.
But apparently people are not remembering this. But I got to
they're freaking idiots because they're brainwashed by the media.
But you know what? I think the problem is, or the fact is, America's makeup has changed. I don't think it's, you know, we have a lot of diversity in our society and so forth. And I think the Republican Party has to make some changes to adjust itself to the times.
Well, they shouldn't be so old school. I agree with that.
Yeah, you know, and they turned off a lot of people.
And I'm not saying, like, I'm one party or the other. I'm not. I'm, like, kind of in the middle. I believe, a little of both.
Right.
But I just want something new.
Like, right.
I'm just so tired of the same shit.
And, exactly.
Like,
exactly.
You know,
that's what I was thinking. Something new, you know? I mean,
right.
not necessarily that Obama is that bad, but, you know, you want to try something new. We've seen what he did already.
He hasn't done anything.
But,
his lack of what he's done?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Well, he's done some stuff.
You're like, oh, Obamacare. That's right, because that's awesome, because now my insurance goes up, and now I get screwed.
Right.
Because he's a freaking moron. Okay, I'm going to stop, because I'm already, like, I had a lot of coffee this morning.
I didn't really
sleep much last night, so my attitude will come out.
Yeah.
It's coming out. I'm coming out.
Why did you sleep? Can you tell us about it? Or
Last night I just couldn't sleep. That was weird. You're going to think I'm off my rocker, but that's okay, because I'm going to say it anyway, because everyone already thinks I'm off my rocker, so it's totally fine.
That's true. You just live up to your reputation.
Yeah, I don't really care anyway what people really think about me. If you don't like it, you can just go off. Don't listen to me. Plug your ears for this moment. All right, so randomly, 2 a.m. in the morning, not last night, but the night before, this is so weird. I was sleeping and then I woke up because I felt this like whisper in my ear and I was like, what the hell was that? And I'm like, what? And then I felt it again. And then I heard this really loud noise, like a train yard, and we have a train that's nearby. So I was like, what's going on? Okay, it's the train. And then all of a sudden a million voices, millions.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, wait, stop. I can't handle this. One at a time. What? And it was like, you're going to think I'm insane, but there were like a million different, I've had mediumship things before when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
It's been years. I mean, since I was a teenager, like nothing like this I'll have like random moments like where I see things and I figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, kind of like I know the situation that's going on. I just know. But this is like actual voices in the room. And I'm like, what? And the weird thing is I wasn't scared at first. I was just like, what? Like, hold on, stop, one at a time. And it was like these spirits that were like, or people rather, because I could like, they were there, which was crazy. And my dogs are just standing there looking around the room like, they're like, what the hell's happening? It was really weird.
Wow.
Giving me messages for people that I don't even know half of them, and some I do. So I'm like, okay, trying to remember, and then I was like, I should write this down. And then I'm like, I can't write, I don't feel like getting up. I'm tired, leave me alone. And like, it was just... But it was interesting. It was kind of like awesome in a way.
Right.
I don't know where this came from or why all of a sudden. I have no idea. And so I started texting people because they were really annoying until like you do something. So I started texting like a couple of people that I knew, and I'm like, I don't know
if this
means...
In the middle of the night?
Yeah. I don't know if this means anything somewhere on the East Coast. Right. I don't know if this means anything to you, but like, I need to tell you this. This name and this person, blah, blah, blah. And people were like, what? How did you know that? And like, it was actually wow. really crazy. Yeah. And some other things that came through, like, I don't know who they are yet. Like, whatever, just come back another time. Then I started getting annoyed because I was like, I need to freaking sleep. Like, I am so tired. Stop. Leave me alone. And then afterwards, like, they did. And then I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, now I'm kind of creeped out.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't I wasn't creeped out during it. I was like, this is kind of fun. Like, okay, this is cool. And then, like, hours had passed. Like, it was, like, 5 a.m., and I'm like, I'm creeped out. Lights are on. Like, I can't sleep. I'm up. Like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
So
I don't blame you.
That was, that was yesterday. And so then I had so much caffeine yesterday because I had all these meetings that I had to go to. And so it was, like, this endless cycle of, like, a lot of caffeine. Now I need to drug myself to sleep. So I wound up sleeping, like, going to bed kind of early.
Mm-hmm.
And then I woke up again at, like, 4, and I was up. Like, forget it. And it was weird because, all right, last night I was a little creeped out. Because you can, like, tell them no and not to come back. And I was like, oh, I'm open to it. Whatever. It's fine. And instead, I actually saw two, like, ghosts. I'm not cool with that. That I'm not cool with.
Really?
You can talk to me all you want, but if I physically see a form in my room, I'm going to flip out.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm used to, like, knowing something's there and, like, feeling like I'm being watched, and I'm okay with that. But if you actually show, like, your full-on self, I am not cool with that when it's the middle of the night, you know, and no one's next to me. I'm not, like, if someone were there, I'd be like, okay, hi, you know, or maybe daytime, I'm cool with it. But it was a little boy who we've seen in our house before. Like, I can't explain it. Like, I know he's there, and I know what he looks like in my head, but I've never physically seen him. Whereas friends are like, there's a little boy, he's like 8 years old and has run through the house. He had dark hair, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, I get that vision, but I've never physically seen it. I physically saw him in my room last night, appeared to me, and I'm like, get out of my room. Wow. Get out of the room. And then there was this lady, and I was like, no, this is not allowed. This is not allowed at all. So then I got up and I saged, and I was like, you can't be in form. You can talk to me and I can hear voices and sound like a freaking crazy nut house. That's fine. I'm cool with that. I felt okay with that. But to actually show, like, form in the room, no, I'm not good with that right now.
Can't handle that, huh?
Not yet.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm fine if it's during the day or if it's not, you know, it's my room. That's what it is. It's the fact that it's my room.
Right.
And that's, like, my sacred place. I think if it were somewhere else, I'd be okay with it because I've come across many things before and being in haunted places or just in the woods. I used to play in graveyards when I was a kid. Like, things like that, like, I'm okay with. But if it's my bedroom, that's my personal space, especially when I'm sleeping, and that's not cool with me.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, that was...
That's mind-blowing.
I've been up. I've been up, and I went to the gym. I was going to go at 6. They didn't have a spin class, so I went at 7 instead. And I got a lot of work done.
Because
by the way, so anyone, they can put this out there. I'm casting for 2 different shows. One is Tough Love, which has been on VH1 for 4 seasons.
Really?
So it'll be season 5. Mm-hmm. Yep. So basically, it's women that can't find their perfect match between the ages of 23 and 40, or appear between those ages.
Yeah.
You can be a little older, just as long as you look younger. And are looking for love, basically, like full-on looking for love, and can't figure out why you aren't dateable or why you don't want to settle down or whatever it is, like,
right.
You know. And then we're doing the same thing, but it's a new show for guys looking for Miss Perfect. So if any guy out there is like, maybe you work too much, maybe you don't have time for it, maybe you always meet the wrong people, whatever it is. So if you guys are interested, then you can email me, ask Brigetta at Brigetta.com, which is on our site.
Yeah. Cool.
So, yes.
Wonderful. Well, congratulations to you. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's frustrating, but it's fun. But yeah, it's been very interesting.
Yeah.
And then I've been playing. Never mind.
Okay. Well, we better get to our guest because her associate is going to call in a little bit as well.
Yes.
So we better get her on the air. We have a very special guest in the studio.
Woo-hoo.
And your name is Leslie.
Lindsay.
Why am I saying Leslie?
Oh,
because I've been thinking about Leslie this morning. It's like
who's
some
Leslie?
Kind of...
Leslie?
Host. No, it's a host. A host on the station.
I'm teasing.
Shut up.
I'm jealous.
Lindsay,
it
is.
In what ways were you thinking? I'm kidding.
Well, okay. You know, an L here, an S there, you know, it's all the same. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sam.
Lindsay. And tell us what organization you're representing.
Well, today we're representing Love Never Fails World Charity, and we're here to talk about human trafficking and sex slavery here in America, people.
Yeah.
So we have that here as well, right?
No one realizes that. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember when we had Art here, or who was it that we were talking about that, and we realized that it's not...
Oh, I brought it up, and I think it might have been Art when he was here.
Yeah.
I can't
And then we
remember.
Were talking about... trafficking and all that stuff, and you know,
yeah.
they insisted there's a lot of it happening
yep.
in the States.
So much happening.
Yeah. So now, how did you get involved with this?
About 11 years ago, I saw an independent film, and it ripped my heart out. Mm. And it was about you know, a young Asian family coming over to a better country for a better life, and the child was separated from the family,
right.
and she was put into a brothel, and she was 5.
Wow.
And it just shook me to my core, and I just turned to everybody and said, "Does this really happen?"
Yeah.
And it does.
Yeah.
And it starts that young.
Wow.
Unfortunately.
Wow. That's
that
amazing.
Is just so disgusting. I mean,
yeah.
can you think of, like...
Yeah. Well, we'll get into the details and everything. I think Stephanie's calling now. So, good morning. You're on the air. Is this Stephanie?
Yes, good morning.
Yes. Good morning to you. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
Good, good. So, so you guys, do you work together?
We do.
Yes.
You know, you have a noisy line, Stephanie. Is it possible for you to get into a quieter place?
I'm actually listening to the broadcast. I'm going to turn it off. Maybe.
Yeah, you got to turn it off. Yeah, that's a lot easier that way.
Yeah.
It sounds like
right,
there's people in the background.
You know? Wait,
that's us. Better?
Yeah, that's us. There you go. Yeah, it's much better.
Awesome.
Stephanie, where are you calling us from? Are you here in L.A.?
Yes.
Oh, okay, cool. And so we're talking about Love Never Fails. And so we started talking with Lindsay here for a couple minutes. We didn't really get to cover much. So tell us how you are involved with the organization.
I am a co-founder along with my husband. And basically we learned about child trafficking. We couldn't believe that it actually existed and in such mass numbers. And we have 3 kids of our own that are very young, and we just kept looking at their bodies and, you know, images coming through your head that you can't shake off, and we decided that we can't just stand by and let this happen. We need to take action, and therefore the organization was born, and we've been very, very blessed to connect with Lindsay and Operation Rescue, human trafficking task force that she's a part of. They're doing an amazing job, and again, very, very, very happy to be working with her on a documentary and a few other projects and the upcoming
Great.
5 event.
Lindsay, and how did you guys meet with Stephanie?
Love Facebook. No. you know, there's a community, human trafficking, filmmakers. So it was just a passionate group of people. And we had a mutual friend that connected us.
So you kind of meet each other, the people that are involved in this.
You do.
Stuff.
It's
yeah.
like we're on this mission. Hey, we know this person and that person. We got to get them involved. And really, a lot of people feel like I'm working on my project. Leave us alone. We'll do our thing. We have to all come together.
Right.
And
right.
whatever immediate project or need is there, everybody just come in, let's work on that one, get that one going, move on to, you know, somebody else's project or somebody else's organization. But really the only way that this is going to be, you know, we're going to be able to grasp this problem is everybody come together and, you know, just mm-hmm. let the world know what's
right.
going on.
Yeah. So, Stephanie, tell us a little bit about the extent of this problem. Apparently, you know, I mean, we're talking about the fact that it happens right here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently this happens all around the world, right? I mean, people try to sometimes get those kids as far away from their home as possible.
Yes. I mean, it's a global problem. 2 kids are trafficked every minute for sex,
wow.
specifically. It's 32 billion dollar industry.
Wow.
And it's second only to drug trafficking and the fastest growing. So in about 5 years, if we don't do anything about it, it would surpass drug trafficking. And actually, drug lords are going into child trafficking because you can use a kid more than one time. You use the drug once.
Wow.
You know,
there's
and
a lot of
kids
money
you can reuse. Some of the kids are as young as 19 days old.
What?
They're being sold 19 days. Yes, we actually we have a rescue in Thailand that was 19 days old and another one that was 4 months old.
Wow.
And, so, I mean, obviously they're not doing sexual things with the children at that young of
age.
They
are.
They are?
They are. And, yes. And this is where, I mean, it's, I don't want to gross people out, but it is the truth, so I'm going to just say it. Because I read about your station that you say what you wish, right?
Yeah, you can say anything.
But you know, some of these kids are basically throwaway kids. They do have intercourse, even with babies knowing that they're killing them.
Oh, my God.
A body, you know, of a 3-4-year-old boy, things just don't fit. Things can stretch, but they don't fit as much. So a lot of them die the first time. And there's a special fee that you pay. You know, because you know you're buying a life. And then, you know, with the girls, they basically resell their virginity over and over again. They, you know, have them sold at, like, I mean, 6, 5, 6, 9, and then they take them to the doctor that sews them up, and then they resell them as virgins again.
Wow.
And they're sold for as little as $16.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm gonna puke.
For example, in Thailand and Burma, but what's completely mind-blowing to me, as I learned about the problem here in America, is the statistics that, you know, we have 250,000 kids a year being trafficked here within the United States, and the ratio from American kids being trafficked in the United States to foreign kids is 11 to 1. Mm. So you have 11 American kids being trafficked to one foreign kid.
Wow.
And that is a report by the U.S. State Department.
Wow.
And then the porn is just a big problem, and the child porn. And so it's estimated that porn profits, and that was 2006, have exceeded combined revenues of Microsoft, Google, Amazon, eBay, Yahoo, Apple, Netflix, and Earthlink, ranging from, I think, around $20 billion annually. And every 39 minutes, a new porn video is created in America. So half of child porn is created in America.
Wow, yeah.
So you got to think, you know, these statistics are pretty crazy.
Right. Now, Lindsay, how do people get a hold of these kids?
Mm-hmm. It's becoming, they're recruiting children in high school. They're going to the malls. I have a granddaughter, and every day I say, you cannot talk to anybody you do not know.
Mm.
That whole thing of stranger danger, mm-hmm. what they're saying now, if you're abducted, your life will never be the same. The torture that these young girls endure to keep them in these invisible chains so that these men can sell them over and over again so they don't run, so they, you know, they're afraid for their life. CBS yesterday posted, which is really wonderful because the news is starting to happen, the arrests are starting to happen, but in Philadelphia, a man was sentenced in human trafficking. It was a torture case, and these young girls were poured... Bleach was poured on their bodies, and they were lit on fire.
Wow.
Here, right here in our states.
Mm.
And this is what they do to keep them from running and from telling. Mm. It's an emotional, physical, spiritual torture that, you know, that they put them through.
Right. So it always involves kidnapping in some kind of way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
And we really have to be compassionate and think about even the girls and the women that are on the streets right now. No young child says, when I grow up, I want to be a prostitute. I want to be beaten. I want to have, you know, I want to be burned. I want to be thrown out of a car. You know, I want to, nobody chooses that life.
Right.
They come into this life from an already abused life that started in the family.
Yeah. So that's usually what happens. I mean, and then the person becomes like totally antisocial or, you know, something like
that. A lot
that.
Of physical and emotional issues arise out of that. Absolutely. They're not, they don't feel self-worth. They, you know, they go into a situation that they're used to and that's comfortable for them. And that's more abuse, more, you know, chopping down their self-esteem.
Right.
More of, you know, I'm not worthy of love or, you know, somebody being kind.
What gets me is, like, you know, I've always thought that, and I was told when I was younger, like, my mother was a freak about, you know, people kidnapped. My mother was kidnapped when she was younger and got out of it. And so my mom was always scared of everything. So when I was younger, you know, she was always like, well, they'll kidnap you and they'll ship you off to other countries. And that's what's going to, you know, that's what it is. And so that's what I always believed. I never realized that so much was actually going on, like, right here. Even in L.A., like, our town right here, there's so much going on. Like, I can't, I had no idea. And I don't, I think most people don't realize.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people know that.
Yeah.
Stephanie, and how did you get involved with this? I mean, what was the first acquaintance for you with this topic?
Oh, I was actually at church, and my pastor had just flown back from a conference and just learned about human trafficking, and then he just spoke about it crying. He has 5 kids, 4 daughters, and a son, and that was, I mean, it really hit him hard, and I couldn't believe my ears. And from that point on, you know, my husband and I were thinking, okay, well, what can we do? And we've been in the film industry for, I don't know, he's been about 20 years, I've been for 15 years, so we thought, okay, well, let's use media to create awareness, because you know, you can read 1,000 words, but you see an image or you see a 5-minute video and it could literally inspire you to take action.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we just realizing that that it's here in LA, and we, you know, wanting to inform people that just because you live in a suburban neighborhood, that doesn't mean that your child is safe.
Right.
I live here right in Beverly Hills, and at the park, there was a child abduction at the Beverly Hills Park, where, you know, police is just right there. They have 2 rangers, and it wasn't related to any family issues or anything like that. We have we work with another organization called I Empathize, and 2 of the girls that they rescued recently were 12 and 13, basically abducted from Wendy's. They went there after school. There was no, there were normal teenagers. There was no abuse in the home. They were loved. They were just abducted because they were cute and there was somebody there watching them. So, you know, kids are abducted from malls, from Walmart, and I just really want this. That's why we're doing actually the event that we're doing, to open America's eyes, that just because you love your child and they're in a good school and everything is great in your family, doesn't mean that your child is immunized from being abducted or somehow being tricked into trafficking.
Right.
So, I mean, that's pretty much, and with the project that we do, we want to inspire people to take action and actually give them tools, because a lot of times you hear these statistics and you're completely overwhelmed by what's going on and thinking, well, how can I make a difference? But we have ways in which, just using the tools in your hands and your talents, you could make a difference, and collectively we could stand against this and stop this, you know, stop child trafficking from happening. And also with the project that we do, the money that we raise are going towards building more safe homes abroad, as well as we have a project here that we want to build a safe home here in Topanga Canyon, and just doing prevention and aftercare programs and training caregivers, because a lot of times these kids don't have a place to go. UN, for example, says, well, yes, we know where the kids are. We can rescue them today, but there's no safe homes to put them to, so we just leave them at the brothels.
Wow.
Because we, there's, you know, if we leave them on the street, they'll be re-trafficked again.
Right.
So I think community involvement is key to ending this issue.
Right. And so, no, you guys are having an event coming up? Is that what
yes,
it is?
November 15th.
Okay. Stephanie, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we're creating a live art piece entitled Sea, and we're using boys and girls and their parents and basically making a human line on the north sidewalk of Wilshire Boulevard between La Brea and Robertson, and we're hoping to get 200 girls and boys. And basically for 20 minutes, we're going to just stand there with the kids' mouths duct taped and in a humane way.
Right.
and their hands tied up just to symbolize the children who right now in L.A. are being enslaved. Mm. And we're hoping for, you know, mass cover media coverage of this event. And we just want to call attention to the issue, basically, by doing something that's kind of really edgy, you know.
Right.
I'm sure that people would have a lot of things to say about duct taping kids' mouths. But,
right. Yeah, but
I think
it's a
the
statement.
Issue is so important that there's no room for mediocrity.
Politeness, yeah.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you got to put it out there for people to realize that it's not just something that you talk about, you know, that it's actually happening. So this is going to take place when, Stephanie?
This is going to take place November 15th, which is a Wednesday, at 8:30 in the morning. And again, it's the kids will be there only for 20 minutes. We actually invite parents who are listening right now. If they want to come with their kids and support this event, we would be completely grateful.
Yeah.
On the 10th, we have a briefing that would be held in Santa Monica from 2 p.m. And we'll have a former CIA agent
that's cool.
who is now a current rescuer of children, an undercover rescuer, and he's going to give us a briefing, and it's going to be child friendly. The word sex would not actually be used so that parents could be secure. It's going to be fun but also eye opening, and then the parents would have the chance to go to a link and watch an 11 minute documentary that would tell them about the issue and what they can do further.
Very interesting. Okay, well, so people should remember that November 15th.
November 15th for
right.
the life event
right.
on Wilshire Boulevard.
Is there a website, Stephanie, that they can go to?
Yeah.
Yes, there is a website that's, well, why don't I say that? Let them go to loveneverfailsworldcharity.org.
Right.
And we are putting up today, I believe, a website for the actual event. Right now, they can go to the link, but it's a little too long to spell.
Okay.
You guys can post it on your website. That would be
sure. Yeah,
that would
we'll
be
do
awesome.
That. Of course, of course. Okay, and I see on the website you have a toll-free hotline to report trafficking in the U.S. Which
yes.
is cool. So if people know of something or someone, they should definitely call and there's places to go.
Yes.
Stephanie, we're going to let you go and we'll continue with Lindsay here. And I just want to thank you for all these efforts you're making. And, you know, somebody's got to take up this cause. And, you know, I'm awed by your... you know, your willingness to take such a big part of your life you know, and work towards fixing this.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. And
of course.
Thank you, Lindsay. And thank you for just giving a voice to the kids who don't have one
yes.
right now.
Well,
and,
you're the one who gives the voice.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll learn more from Lindsay. And
yes.
Yeah, so thank you so much, and everybody catch the event. I would imagine you'll be there, Stephanie. So
yes.
Yeah, so people will get a chance to meet you if they want to and get some more information.
Absolutely. They can, if I can plug one more thing in before I go.
Sure.
If anybody is interested in participating or has questions or anything for any reason, wants to contact me personally, they could do so at 424-239-9965. That's 424-239-9965. And they can email me directly at Stephanie. At lnfwc.org.
Okay, sounds
good.
Thank
you again.
Of course. Okay, Stephanie, thank you.
Have a beautiful day.
You too.
You can continue listening. We'll still talk about it.
Aww.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
This is a mom with three young children.
Really?
So she's got so much on her plate already.
Yeah, I can imagine. And that's why I admire people that even though they have full lives, they still find a cause and they invest a lot in it, you know?
Like, I want to help out, but, like, I mean...
Yeah. Well, Lindsay will tell you how.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
but I want to go in undercover.
Yeah, she wants to make it fun.
Yeah. And then beat the shit out of these men.
Yeah.
With a pistol upside their head.
Yeah. So, Lindsay, what, I mean, do you guys research these kind of men? I mean, what drives them?
Money.
Right. Well, no, I mean, but the ultimate, the customers, you know,
it's control.
Control?
It's control. It's not even about, because I think the human being is completely eliminated from the event or the moment, and it's control.
Right.
I'm sitting here in complete disgust, just like, for those that can't see me, like, covering my mouth and nose with my shirt, because I... Literally, I'm thinking of this and want to puke.
Yeah, I know.
I can't. Like, this is just so disgusting and beyond me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't...
But we must discuss this, you know?
No, I agree. We have to.
Right.
But it's like, these people are no longer human. Like,
right. Yeah, how can... You know, I mean, the moment you cross that line, I think...
I mean,
this is with kids. I mean, when you cross the line with a grown human being, it's bad enough. You know, but when you go after, like, a helpless child... There's no excuse.
Like, how many arrests are actually happening for not just the guys that are, like, doing the trafficking and working it, but I mean, like, the actual customers. Are they going after the customers?
It's a misdemeanor for them right now. And
really?
Why?
Yes.
It's basically rape charges.
It is.
So how is it misdemeanor? How?
It is. These girls right now, I don't care how old they are, well, the ones on the street are going to be anywhere from 14 and up. They are still prosecuted as a criminal, as a prostitute. Mm-hmm. We have Proposition 35 that passed, and again, and also Polaris Project rates states, which is really wonderful. The Department of State rates our countries. Polaris Project is rating our states right now, and we do have some really progressive states that have passed. I can tell you what they are right now. Mm-hmm. I apologize. California is in the middle of that. So we are making progress. The challenges right now are it's a hidden crime, which basically it's a lack of awareness and understanding, which is why we're here. It's a lack of self-identification of the victims. Mm. They don't understand that they are being enslaved. When these young girls on the streets are having to meet a quota of $800 a night, which is repetitive rape, and the pimps taking the money, they don't understand that that's slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And then
that's normal to them because
And then the contradictory laws and legislation right here, right now.
Yeah. So they're not. The government is not doing a lot at this point.
They are. I mean, there's so many reports, and there's 45 task forces here in the United States, that are headed by the FBI and ICE and LAPD here in Los Angeles. So there are a lot of good intentions. Again, legislation, jurisdictions, it just makes the process really slow. Right here in California, in Los Angeles, if a child who's 12 is pulled off the streets, she is going to go into the probation and juvenile system, which does not...
Mm-mm.
Do anything to help restore.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It absolutely does not. I used to work with those kids back in Baltimore, and they fall right back into it. It's like the same cycle. They don't know anything better. There's no, like, actual people that care enough to sit down and mentally help them.
Yeah.
Right.
So what law enforcement has to do right now and first responders, and that's what our task force is all about, is identifying. Are you choosing to do this? Are they taking your money? Are you being forced? Are you being coerced? You know, you all these questions that you can ask them and help them to identify themselves as somebody that's being trafficked or slaved. And then, you know, we've got safe homes that are here in Los Angeles. They're for 18 and over. We do have one that's for younger children. But then we've got to get the parents to approve for them to go.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So again, more red tape.
I guess if a young child, you know, is brought back to their families and whatnot, or is that what you're saying? Like, it's those families that get their child back that would you send them to these younger centers? Is that what you're saying? That's what
I'm confused. With their consent, yes.
Okay.
I mean,
why wouldn't they want to do that? Given like, oh my God, my child's back. I want my child. Right. But I mean, you can't give them the therapy and everything that they need.
One child, it's absolutely extraordinary. Beyond the $32 billion that this industry, these criminals are making in this industry. And by the way, it was 9,000 in 2009. So
what?
From 2009 to now, it has jumped that much. But beyond the money that they're making, what it's costing us to rehabilitate and restore one child, there's about 13 to 20 organizations that come in through the layers that these children have to go through in the systems to get them to a place where they can actually be rehabilitated and restored. You've got the legal system, you have the juvenile system, you have the probation system, and these poor young girls have to go through all of that before they're being identified here in California right now.
Now, talking to the women that have been through through hell and back and have gotten therapy and whatnot, I mean, how are they now? How are they coping with society? I mean, are there some people that are okay to function with regular families? Are they speaking like about it, helping?
Here's what's absolutely extraordinary. The spirits, first of all, I don't know after a week of being on the streets and being treated this way if I would just want to end my life.
Right.
Right.
So these young girls' spirits are unbelievable. And it's about 5 years for them to go through, you know, the rehabilitation, to be
sort
okay to start talking about it again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A lot of these victims become advocates and become a voice, and that's actually what we need more of.
Yeah.
And they are telling their story. There's so many survivors that are working in the safe home that we're actually going to be going to on Friday, because these victims do need people that go, I know what you've been through.
Mm.
Not some probation officer that's at a desk all day that can't identify at all with what this child has just been through.
Mm.
So more victims are becoming advocates and survivors, and they are the ones that are helping to guide these girls to
So this is a big problem, but people don't really talk about it.
No.
Right?
No. It's not.
Because it's like unthinkable almost, you know? I mean, it's like you don't want to even think that this stuff happens.
I mean, think about it. I mean, just the fact that, like, somebody out there is taking a child that young and abusing it and basically killing it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm like blown away by all that.
Yeah. Now the traffickers, let's talk a little bit about them. Now, is this like organized groups? Are these like usually
gangs?
Yeah, like
there's bigger rings, you know, that are happening, and children are being transported, and it's global. These criminals work across international borders.
Mm.
So they are bringing young girls from India or China or, you know, Thailand. They just had a huge rescue in Westminster, Orange County.
Mm.
And there were...
I was just there.
15 women that did not speak a word of English that were kept in a home in a suburban neighborhood.
Right.
If you walked in there, they had a room with sheets that divided First of all, you just want to get... You want to ask these men, like, you're just in this bed with a divided sheet, and there's people next to you, and you guys are, you know, all this stuff is going on. It's
right.
Like... So, yes, 15 young women, again, so that was an international... think. But right. what's happening now that's has made it grow so quickly is that now drug traffickers, gangs that were selling drugs are saying, you know what, it's such a, there's a lot more punishment mm. being caught for having a
drug.
You know, selling drugs.
Right.
You can't prove, unless the girl says, help me, I'm being trafficked or, you know, I'm being beaten.
Yeah.
Then you can't prove
You can't
it.
Do anything with it? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's just like absolutely insane. Because yeah. they're scared for their lives to even talk.
Yeah, I mean, and
they won't.
They're too innocent. I mean, you know, what do you do when you're young, you know, you don't know what the hell's going on. You don't have your family around you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you have all these people. And I guess they get that Stockholm syndrome probably
yes.
after a while. You
yes.
know, they start identifying with the kidnappers.
This man loves me. He's my boyfriend. He's
right.
my husband.
Mm-hmm.
He cares about me. This is my family.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think even a grown-up would it could happen to a grown-up as well.
Yes.
You know, when you're kidnapped. So imagine a child that has no defense,
yeah.
you know?
I mean, yeah, it could happen to an adult. Yeah. I mean, I was almost kidnapped like 2 years ago.
Really?
Did I tell you that story?
No.
I got out of it. Like, I'm psycho. So, like, you're messing with the wrong chick if
yeah.
you try and pull me into
Barking
the car.
Barking at the wrong
motherfuckers.
Tree.
I'm going to say that I wasn't paying attention. You need to always pay attention to your surroundings. I was walking home from, this is late at night after the bar, I was at the W Hotel in Hollywood.
Right.
And I literally lived two streets away. Up. Like, same street, straight up, though. And I was walking, and I was like, whatever, I live right there, it's not a big deal, you know? And it can be a little iffy sometimes, but it's like right there. Right?
Yeah,
two,
there's
like,
people.
You're
tough chick.
Yeah. I was wearing, you know, I'd gone out. I was wearing a short dress. I had a jacket over it, but I had my purse out, which was hot pink and glitter. And I even thought about this beforehand. Probably shouldn't walk like this. Oh, well, it's right there. I don't care. I'm by myself. I was on my phone, not paying attention, texting somebody. And I felt like there was a car that I saw slowly, like, drive up. And there's no lights in part of the street, which now there are.
Yeah.
Because there was enough people to complain. And this car starts following and starts saying stuff out the window, and I just like looked up and I was like, whatever, and went back to my phone. Well, then they got mad. So then they pull up and I see this and I'm like, this is not happening. They pull yeah. up in front, and then I'm like, well, then I'm not gonna walk that way. Hello, I'll
yeah.
just go this way, you know? So they get out of the car as I'm walking up, and there's a huge dude blocking the sidewalk. The other guy's like, grab her, get her, and I'm
wow.
like, what?
How
and
scary.
So yeah, and I'm like, well, fuck that. Like, I'm psycho. Like, I will stab you with my keys. So I'm like, literally, like think quick. You have to think so quick. I'm not going to run towards you, first of all. I'm going to turn around and go back the way I came.
Right.
Thank God there wasn't another, like, a third person with them that, like, took off. And I'm pretty fast. So I literally got out of my heels, like, kicked them off, and just bolted running back down the hill, screaming, those guys are chasing me, those guys are chasing me.
Mm.
There happened to be a security guard at the parking lot all the way down the corner in Hollywood who was like, what? And then came out. And then those guys got scared.
Yeah.
And I stood there, and I was like, pointing those guys right there, and like we called the cops, which were nearby, and I was trying to get their license plate of the car, but like I couldn't, like it was so quick, and I had to think about how to get the hell away before memorizing the plates. But I remember the car. Stupid men get back in the car and circle around the block.
Really?
Yeah. Like
looking
they were determined.
Else.
No,
yeah.
they were determined to get me. They
to
were so
you.
Pissed.
Wow.
Yeah. And so then the cop
Control.
Is there. Yeah, it was a control thing, complete control.
Yeah.
And I was like, I could not even believe. And I told the W, I told their staff, I was like, everyone that works here, you know, because I had friends that worked there too. I was like, you need to like all know about this. And there is cameras on Hollywood Boulevard right there, but not on this particular part of the street where there were no lights. So now there's lights put up. And there's a lot of construction going on. They're building something there now, but cops are aware of it.
Right.
So I mean, but I'm just like, and it wasn't just me apparently that it's complained. The cops said that. There's been other situations.
Right.
So I went back and got my shoes, and they brought me home.
Yeah.
That's good. But you got to think quick. Like, you know, you can't running in heels and a dress. Like, most people aren't going to like.
Right.
And most girls would be like, well, I'll just start across the street this way. No, they're fast. You
right.
know what I mean? They're going to meet up with you. Run back the way you came.
Right.
As long as there's no one else pulling up behind you. Because if it's an operation, they will be. So, like, got to think like that. But, I mean, it was
yeah.
really scary. I was shaking. I was crying. I'm like, I can't even believe
I'm sure,
this
yeah. So imagine this
yeah.
happening to a kid, you know? I mean,
exactly.
It's like
exactly.
Totally devastating.
And this was, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So, what are the... So, I mean, are you guys getting any response from the government here? I mean, are you seeing, like, action being taken to alleviate the problem?
Yes, there definitely is action that's being taken. But again, here in California, because of the legislation, really law enforcement's hands are tied. And we are working with the LA Metro Human Trafficking Task Force. And again, a task force consists of law enforcement, the grassroots community, nonprofits,
mm-hmm.
people that aren't being paid and they're just passionate about this cause.
Mm-hmm.
I work with some amazing women that are out on the streets at 3 a.m., that have been out on the tracks, a particular track here in Hollywood for the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
They've called the Hollywood, the Hollywood department and the other law enforcement, asking whose jurisdiction this is, and none of them copped up to it.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And
Holy.
We finally got the lieutenant out on the track one night, and he was pissed.
Really?
There were 20 pimps out on the street. There were at least 45 to 50 young girls blatantly dressed as selling sex.
Right.
And there were probably...
How old are these girls that
I'm
were
not,
out there?
We did see at least 5 underage. And they're all beautiful, young, blonde,
mm-hmm.
you know. They've all been branded. They have tattoos.
Really?
Wow. Is that like the brand from the pimp or
yes.
something?
Yeah.
Holy
yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
But the Johns, which are the customers in the cars,
right.
were lined up like they were going through a fast food restaurant.
Wow.
There were probably 75 cars that were going
oh
around
my
this
God.
Block. It was
yeah.
the most unbelievable thing. And then here's this lieutenant who's been in, you know, law enforcement for
mm-hmm.
30 years. He went to the Hollywood division furious, fuming. Because we were out there for 4 hours and we did not see one police officer.
Mm.
And when he went in, he said, they said, what
mm-hmm.
can we do? There's
yeah.
not enough of us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Wow.
That's because they're so
yeah.
focused on clubs. And no, I'm not kidding. There's so many cops sitting outside the clubs at night. Just like, let me get a bust
really?
Here. Let me get a... Because
yeah.
I get the DUIs are a big thing too. But they're, honestly, some are just sitting there watching the girls.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
hate to say it.
I don't want to slam.
I don't mean to slam it. No.
It's just, it is overwhelming. It's such
I don't
an
mean to
problem.
Either, but I've experienced it, so I'm going to say it. I don't really give a shit. You
right.
can do whatever
yeah.
you want. I mean, I don't care.
But you
care,
know, I mean, the.
But
yeah.
that's what they're doing.
Right.
And some are paid by the clubs to be there. I get it in case there's a fight or whatnot. But it's kind of, or not paid, but I don't know what kind of deal they have, but they're there.
Right.
You know, they have extra cops inside the clubs and whatnot. And it's kind of, it's like there are way more serious issues going on that we need them at rather than sitting on your motorcycle and watching the hot girls
right.
go by. Just saying.
Now, Lindsay, how do you alleviate the problem? I mean, what how are we going to make this any better?
Like, what can
because,
we do? Yeah.
Yeah, because the Johns obviously have no problem with it, and
yeah.
I would think this is what you have to address probably.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
The
well,
demand.
We've started a task force,
uh-huh.
and I'm very, very excited about it. We're going to start our first operation this week, and we've come up with what we think is going to work, and it is, but it does take a lot of time.
Right.
Like, we have to identify the pimp. We're going to follow him for 2 weeks. We're going to find their comings and goings.
I'm in on this, by the way.
At 3 a.m., these girls are showing up. It's, you know, the pimps are dropping them off on the street. Then they go and hang out with their buddies for 4 hours while these young girls are freezing their butts off in these hot, you know, anyway. So we're going to identify a few pimps. We're going to find out where exactly are they doing with these girls. We want to know, are they going home at night? Are they put up in a hotel? Like, we want to know their comings and goings. And And so then we turn that over to the police. We say, these are the pimps. This is all the information. Get them off the street.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we have another team that'll be on the streets talking to these girls, which have already been doing that for the last year and a half.
Right.
So there's a lot of trust that's been and rapport that's been, you know, nurtured.
Right.
And that's already there. And so, you know, our hopes is that, you know, once they know that they're safe and these pimps are off the street, that, you know, they will willingly come with us.
Right.
But then what about the other, you know, huge trafficking cases that are with the abductions? Like, how do we, can we, like, help with the FBI, CIA, whatever task forces, like,
Community awareness is key. It really is. So the more we talk about it, the more, you know, again, those 14 women were in Westminster in somebody's neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Did they see those girls come in and never come out again?
Right.
Do they see cars lined up mm-hmm. down the street? Do they see men going in and out of this, you know, home
right.
in your neighborhood?
Right, yeah. Gotta be aware.
Call.
Right.
Call.
Right.
We were visiting a drop-in center over in Linwood at 1 in the afternoon, my daughter and I, and as we were leaving, there was a young girl on the street corner,
mm-hmm.
looked like she should have been at the beach. She had cute little shorts on, blonde hair. We watched the man, her old enough to be her dad, pick her up. We followed him. We scared him. He let her out.
Right.
That upset her a little bit.
Yeah.
Because again, you don't know if now, you know, does she have a quota she needs to meet? Is that pimp now gonna, you know?
Right.
Wow.
So
beat
it's
her
a
up,
tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. You have
yeah.
to. But he dropped her off around the corner. There was a elementary school where parents were picking up their children.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh
this
God.
Was a private school. These little girls and boys were all in. So this pedophile was in the neighborhood. There were prostitutes in the neighborhood.
Mm.
And these. So,
wow.
These parents need to know.
Right.
Do you
uh-huh.
know that that's happening?
Right.
In, you know, and could that man go down the street and your little girl, boy's waiting outside to be picked up and you're a little
yeah.
late?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess the answer is to always know what your kids are doing, be involved with their lives and protect them as much as you can. Well, we're running over time, Lindsay. Thank you so much for
yeah.
joining us.
Thank you.
Everybody
yeah.
go to loveneverfailsworldcharity.org, and you'll find out about the event November 15th, and also get more information. There's also the U.S. trafficking hotline that you can find there. And, yeah, Lindsay, I mean, kudos to you for taking the initiative
and, amazing.
And being involved with this and everything. So, and thanks for joining us and enlightening us on what's going on. And hopefully people will take steps, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, everybody, thank you all for listening. Enjoy your new president.
Yeah. You mean the old one?
Our new president. And Brigetta, yeah, take it easy with the ghosts there.
Boom.
And we'll see you all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigetta is an LA Talk Radio production, where we say what we want.